Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Amply Promise podcast. My name is Chris, and this evening you join me and my best friend in the whole wild world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
As we take you on the journey that is episode 102 of the podcast, D, it is fantastic to be doing this remotely with you this evening.
It's great being remote. All the benefits of hearing each other without actually having to physically be in the same room.
Interact. It's a hermit's paradise, this.
It's the future. It's not. We miss a lot from the interactions.
I mean, yeah, it's different when you sit across the table. It's definitely different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'll take this. To be consistent, I'll take this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those just listening to the audio won't know any different.
True. Apologies to those listening to the audio. We are in the same room together, as always. Don't fret. Don't worry. Nothing wrong.
Which is actually a beautiful segue into telling you that if you are listening to the audio, there is a video version available over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast where you get to see our beautiful faces. Now, 2 weeks out of the month, at least, we will be together across... No, 3 weeks out of the month, we will be together across a table somewhere in sunny Ireland. And once we will be apart like this through the medium of webcam.
The beauty and majesty of the internet.
I think that's the best way to put it. And likewise, if you find the video version, the audio is available on any podcast hosting service. You can take us with you on the go through anything, really. You know, have us with you anywhere. It used to be a thing where we you know, you could listen to us in the bath. Used to be a big thing, but people do that. People listen to podcasts in the bath a lot.
I have now listened to multiple podcasts whilst in the bath.
Yeah, I've listened. When I shower, if I take like a long shower, I will always listen to a podcast. I actually listened to It's Obvious Gaming this week.
Nice. In the shower?
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. That was they have particularly long podcast. That was a long ass shower you had. That's like two and a half hours.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to the entirety of the podcast. You're
prude when you came out. Like, just what happened?
Myself to death in that shower. But yeah, thank you. If you're a new listener to the show, you are most welcome, and we hope this podcast finds you well. Bit of on this day. Do you want a bit of on this day?
Yes, please.
For the day that's in it, today is the 11th of the 9th, 2020.
It's 9/11.
9/11, if you are metric.
I completely forgot that today was 9/11.
Yeah, big day in world history. Before we get there, though, in 1297, William Wallace defeats the English at Stirling Bridge.
Braveheart William Wallace.
William Wallace, yeah. Yeah. Wow. And then, of course, in 2001, Al-Qaeda hijack and crash two passenger planes into the World Trade Towers in New York City. There was a further plane hijacked and flown into the Pentagon, and Flight 93 was also hijacked, but passengers managed to regain control of the plane, but unfortunately it crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'll be right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. That's big news. And you know what? Everybody always says they remember where they were when that happened.
We were at school.
I do believe, yes.
Yeah.
I do believe, yeah.
We were young, I don't remember it that well.
No. I remember seeing things on TV, but I think part of that may be getting confused with just like things I've seen over the years, and I've just made myself believe that I was there, yeah. 2012, the US Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, is attacked, resulting in 4 deaths. That was also a movie as well, starring John Krasinski. I think it's just called Benghazi.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. It's recent enough movie, right?
Yeah. I think Hillary Clinton got a lot of shtick over that one. There was something to do with that. She had the blood of Benghazi on her hands.
Oh, really?
I think it's called. Yeah. Something like that. 1978, the last person to die from smallpox.
Died from smallpox.
Yeah. It was a laboratory associated outbreak. So it wasn't actually, you know, in circulation in the air. It was an outbreak in a lab. Maybe a bit brighter, something a bit brighter, D, for on this day. But today, 30 years ago, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air debuted. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. 30 years ago. I have never been a fan of that show.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I didn't. It was always on. Like it was on like RT. I was like Strange Times. I remember.
Weird time like, show. Yeah.
It was one of the latest like child appropriate shows that were on. So I always tuned in.
It used to be on after The Simpsons on BBC as well, I believe, like way back in the day.
Maybe that's where I'm thinking of it.
I think anyway, but yeah, as you said, it was one of like the last like child kind of shows to be on before the grown up television started. I don't know, the soap started, yeah. But I just didn't enjoy it at all. But yeah, that's your On This Day. I mean, we couldn't really discuss On This Day without mentioning the September 11th attacks, and that kind of just casts a huge shadow over this day. So that's your On This Day. I am happy to go into some news from this week if you are.
Absolutely, yeah. I got a couple of pieces.
Okay, before we do, I want to mention this. I've seen this today. Today is actually the closest that the planet Neptune will be to Earth in 2020.
Like in 2020 or like for like the next like 500 years or whatever?
No, just in 2020. So I'm assuming it... Well, I don't know what the actual... Like,
oh no, that makes sense actually because don't we, man?
Like it's
you want to head fuck, try and work out like the orbital mechanics and all that shit because yeah, we're on one side of the sun now and we're close to it, and then tomorrow we'll move away from it to the other side of the sun and then this time next year we'll be back, but it'll also have moved a little bit.
Yeah,
holy shit!
Isn't this crazy? Right, that I talked to my siblings about this the other day, and it's like if you started thinking about this, it would fry your head. But like the sun, right, is just a big ball of fire,
yeah.
Right? It has the potential to literally destroy everything. Yet we're on a planet that is situated just perfectly, like the perfect distance away from the sun, that all life can just happen and occur. And the waters don't bubble, like we don't boil and things don't just spark on fire. I know we get wildfires and I know like the earth is heating up, but it's just the perfect like distance. Isn't that crazy?
The Goldilocks zone, they call it.
The Goldilocks zone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because so it's just right?
It's just right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to get even more messed up? This like,
of course
there's a good chance that like if we didn't have a moon, there's a good chance we'd be in a completely different setup. I mean, there'd be no tides, for example.
That's also crazy.
We didn't have a thick enough atmosphere. We'd all be dead from radiation, lack of oxygen. Yeah, there's loads of just like random things that if they had went slightly differently, just we would never have been here. It's mad, like.
Yeah, it's really like it's a rabbit hole that if you start thinking,
yeah,
like you're going to fly down that rabbit hole and God have you. I pondered that fact about the sun for like a good 20 minutes. I'm not going to lie. Like, holy shit. Like it's just perfectly.
It's like, imagine it was like a little bit bigger, the sun, or a little bit smaller. Yeah. And we just worked out, we're fucked basically. Yeah.
Are we just moved off our axis by like just the teeniest fraction.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Imagine there was no seasons as well. If we weren't like tilted that way that we are, like there would just be a constantly hot, like unlivable area in the equator. We'd just all be like living in the poles, freezing our heads off.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh shit. That is.
That's like the next time you think you feel like you're an unlucky person or things aren't going your way. I mean, it might help you to think that like, it's just the fact that you're here is like billions and billions and billions to one chance. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's not much, but it's something.
You're a lucky little stardy. okay, let's get down to some proper news. What the people pay for. Yeah, what the people pay for.
Are you getting paid for this?
Nah. Let me see. Excuse if anybody can hear the heating that has just come on behind me. It's gonna like go on and off as the episode goes on. I don't know if you'll really hear it, but just in case you do.
I'll work my post-processing skills, Chris, and I'll just wipe that all out.
See, you got the fingers of a magician when it comes to that audio, though. I think that's what people say.
That's the common phrase, yes.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to go first with news, or do you want me to go first with news?
I have one piece that isn't really news, but it's just kind of like a crazy thought that...
Dude, that's what most of my news is every single week.
Yeah, that's fair, actually.
No, you go ahead, yeah.
So it's Tom Cruise. So pretty much guaranteed a bit of crazy news when that man comes up. Anyway, have you seen the footage of his like latest stunt for the newest Mission Impossible movie?
No.
And obviously, like he, you know, it's well known that Tom Cruise is one of these people who just insists on doing his own stunts.
Doing his own, yeah.
Pretty much just going as far as he possibly can to do the craziest shit.
Do you remember last year, or was it the year before, we seen the footage of him breaking his like shin or his foot doing the stunt for, what was that, Rogue? Was that Rogue? Mission Impossible?
Fallout,
yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. Like,
well, he's definitely topped it, because basically, and like, I know, you definitely go out and, you know, find the footage if you can, but it's Tom Cruise on a motorcycle going full tilt on this like built ramp. They built this ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Because it must be like maybe one or two stories high, you know, like it's got this like pitch and elevation. Mm-hmm. But the ramp is going right off the edge of a cliff, like just right off there.
Like as if he's going to drive and like jump off the cliff via the ramp?
He rides the motorcycle straight over the edge of this fucking ramp. He launches himself out over this like canyon. He's falling and falling and falling. The bike falls away and he just sort of like reaches back and whips open this parachute and parachutes, presumably to safety. I don't know where he went after that.
And he did this? Like,
it's him. It's the actor, Tom Cruise, doing something a stuntman would probably say no to.
I mean, you can't take that kind of stuff away from him, whether you like him or not.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you can say he's all committed. You want about Tom Cruise, but I will always have mad respect for the fact that he just does these crazy things for no other reason than he just wants to do them. You know, and he wants to film them and put them on into like this movie.
It's authentic, you know.
It is authentic.
It's authentic. Yeah, that's good. Good wholesome Tom. That's what that is.
Wholesome Tom. Wholesome Maybe not Tom. So wholesome, but you know, good old Tom.
Yeah. Okay, I have a bit of news here, D, if you want. The world record for running a mile while dribbling a basketball has been broken.
Finally.
Yeah. So one of the most popular records this summer has been the world record for running a mile while dribbling a basketball. On September 4th, Whitney Orton, a 50-year senior who runs on the Brigham Young University women's cross-country team, that's a mouthful, broke the existing women's record, the third time that it had been broke in 2020 in total. But it has been since broke by, hang on, let me get the name. I had it here. Orton.
Just Orton.
I can't find her first name. Jesus.
Good old Orton.
Hang on. I need her first name or this isn't going to work.
Who will we know to send the congratulations to? Just Orton.
Oh, no, Whitney Orton. Yeah.
Did she break her own record? Is that what happened?
She must have. Okay, yeah, she must have went out and broke it again. I don't know why she would try it again. But anyway, she went out and broke it again, and she cruised to a new world record of 4 minutes, 58 seconds, 0.56, which is insane for running a mile, the best it is.
Yeah.
But running it while dribbling a basketball the entire way, which is just insane. So there you go. If you want to try a silly world record during this lockdown phase, you can try dribbling a basketball while running a mile.
You know what, though, right? You say a silly world record, and I'm thinking silly world record is something like, you know, how many bricks can you crack open with your forehead or something like that. Like, this sounds like a genuine, like, athletic feat. Because, like, you have to run full tilt, and you have to, like, have, like, the mental, like, you know, your mind constantly has to be focusing on, like, dribbling this ball. Like,
yeah, like the dexterity to pull something like that off, I guess, is pretty...
Dexterity, Chris, is the word I was looking for there. Exactly.
Dexterity. It's a beautiful word, dexterity.
Could you imagine walking a mile with a basketball that you couldn't stop dribbling?
Yeah.
Without messing up somewhere along the line. Like, now you're going full tilt.
Full tilt. Even just jogging, I guess, would be a pretty... Like, if you jog down a basketball court, when you're not used to it, if we did it, God, that would be... That would just be awful. Never mind a mile. There was also a guy there I read during the week that broke the world record for running a mile backwards. He also did it 5 minutes flat.
That's impressive.
I don't even know how you begin to train for that. Like, no. Running backwards uses something else. Like,
yeah, like that's what I was about to say. Like, can you, like, it's not, like, none of your regular running skills transfer there, do they? I mean, come on.
Apart from the aerobic capacity, no, I can't imagine they would. No, that's crazy.
Sorry.
Yeah, so there you go. There's another, there's two records if you want to get out and try this week, D.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. Yeah.
Yeah, do. Next bit of news. Have you seen what Nintendo are launching?
Is it the
Game & Watch?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So Nintendo is offering a Game & Watch hardware coming on November 13th that will come preloaded with the original Super Mario Bros. Game. So remember like the old school Super Mario Bros?
Like the NES Mario Bros.
Yeah, it's the Mario's 35th anniversary celebration, and it's going to be pretty hard to get your hands on. It's a tiny piece of hardware that comes preloaded with the Mario game on it, and it doubles as a watch, I believe. Yeah, like the time is on it. There's a picture of it. The time is on it.
Can you wear it on your wrist? Do you think? Like, is it like a pocket calculator or one of the watch calculators? You're just like,
I don't know if you wear it on your wrist or if it's more of like an alarm clock.
Oh,
you
know,
you kind of keep it at like the side of your bed. I don't think anybody's really gonna be wearing this. It is the first. The clip that was shown mostly shows the ins and outs of the modernized Game & Watch console. It has a sharp LCD screen that appears to be backlit, and the general design is reminiscent of the Game Boy Advance Micro. Yeah. Do you remember the Micro? The wee tiny Game Boy?
Mm-hmm.
So it looks pretty much like that, only much sleeker. And around its right-hand side, the Game & Watch features a USB-C port for recharging its battery.
You could fit a Micro on your wrist. Yeah, that's what this is. I don't even care if it's not. That's what if I was to buy one, that's what I would use it for. I would just.
I mean, we're talking probably about the same size as my webcam here in front of me. So I don't know, but 4 or 5 inches maybe.
Yeah, you could work it. You could work it.
I mean, it's like attaching a phone to your wrist.
So. That's what smartwatches are, man. That's it.
True.
I actually forgot to get like an article or something on this, but just generally, when you mentioned a bit of gaming news. Microsoft were hit by like a massive leak at like 3 a.m. in American time, which was essentially like their whole next generation console plans. Did you see this?
I did. Is this the price and everything? Is this the price?
The price. They had like a whole other console that hadn't even been released. And like,
yeah, these are like the two boxes now. They just look like, yeah. I've seen pictures of them, but I didn't read up on it.
It's just bizarre, man. It's just crazy that like it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. Somebody leaked. I forget who it was, but somebody had leaked, and it was like kind of, even though it was so early in the morning, obviously the rest of the world was awake and they were all just like speculating wildly and throwing things around, and Microsoft were just like, fuck it. Yes, that's true. Here's all the things. But the best part about it, right? Okay, so like it's pretty cool. They got all their new announcements out. It was nice for like to not have to wait for like a big event or something that just all came out.
Yeah.
The best part was, amid all these rumors, Microsoft's initial response was a pure meme. It was, do you know that like weird looking Muppet character? The meme where they're just like kind of like looking forward and then they just like look at the camera suspiciously?
Yes.
That's essentially how Microsoft announced their new console.
No way.
It's like they kind of confirmed the rumors with a little meme. I thought it was brilliant. I was like, this is like... I mean, it's making the best of a pretty bad situation because I'm saying they probably spent millions on the marketing like to get ready to announce this, and then it was just like...
And now they've had no choice but to just steer into this. Holy, I didn't know it was a leak.
Yeah, it leaked initially, and then they just like started revealing all the information and stuff. But
wow, I've seen the pictures, okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They're pretty exciting times. So it's like...
something about the price. Like, I mean... PlayStation have got to come out now within the next couple of weeks and unveil their price because this is waiting like super super close. And
it's like they won the game of chicken, right? They won the game of chicken. Who's going to reveal first?
Yeah. You could even see it next week or this weekend from PlayStation now that Microsoft have done the deed.
the cat's out of the bag.
Because I mean, like, I mean, hats off, like, and credit to Nvidia, you know, the graphics.
Oh yeah, yeah, what they're producing.
Like, they just come out. They wait for no man. They're just like, this is it. This is our price. Boom. Take it or leave it. Yeah, there you
bye-bye.
Go.
They don't none have to this. Deal with all the fanfare and the console wars and all that shit.
Showmanship with it, you know. It's just like, there you go.
Yeah, I'm hoping PlayStation come out with theirs soon, and then it's like, I think as well, I think everyone's kind of hoping that because Microsoft have this like cheaper version as well, that's going to force their hand to kind of like come down a wee bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be another PS3 600 that's quid right. monstrosity. Hopefully,
yeah, right now. Right enough, yeah. It is. Yeah. It's exciting times within the gaming community when it comes to hardware. Let me see. I guess keeping with the gaming news, Call of Duty Black Ops, the Cold War multiplayer footage has been revealed. Did you watch any of it?
I didn't actually. I missed.
Okay, I did. I've caught up with a lot of it. I don't want to read into too much the article that I have. I'll just tell you what I've seen from it so far and what I like about it. It basically looks like if you take Modern Warfare, an original Black Ops, and just go.
That's interesting.
Very good.
I really liked original Black Ops.
Yes, exactly. And Modern Warfare, like, what's not to like there? Not like the flagship, but the map that they've kind of really showed off is called Admiral, I believe. Armada. It's too big. Do you remember the Hijack map on Black Ops 1? It was like the boat, like the yacht.
Oh, no, that's Black Ops 2,
sorry.
2, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember the yacht? Think much bigger and think two of them in the ocean. And you can either swim to and from or take like a zip line to and from.
Okay.
It just introduces some really, really cool like dynamics, like interesting ways to like traverse the actual level. You know, you can now swim under like the ships to get to them up through different hatches. You can like traverse via a zip line over them. The gunplay looks smoothy. It looks super, super sleek. What else have I seen? In terms of the modes, I didn't see too much. I've seen a bit of kill confirmed, standard, Treyarch kind of modes. A little bit of, I think it was team deathmatch. I don't think it was like search and destroy or domination. And I seen that the Ural Mountains will also be a place brought into the game. That's all I've seen so far.
Soviet Russia. Ural Mountains, of course, where the Dyatlov Pass incident happened. If you want to find out more about that. Check out our previous podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's popping up on your screen now.
It's definitely not. And if you're listening, it's absolutely not.
Yeah. No, we have a podcast coming up based on Dyatlov where we revisit Dyatlov Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should keep it closer to Black Ops launch. And we'll just tie the whole thing together.
It's all linked.
There you go. November. It's coming November. So that was another piece of news. What else have I got? I mean, I read up a bit on the... Have you seen the fires in California and Oregon at the minute?
I've seen, yeah, images, yeah. Jesus. It's pretty dire at the moment.
Have you seen the video that the guy did with the drone throughout
the... Blade Runner...
Yeah.
California one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
Crazy, like, isn't
just
it?
The whole city skyline is just pure red, orange.
Red, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, so I'll not delve into that too much. You've seen that. And finally, Umbrella Academy has become Netflix's biggest hit series since The Witcher.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's surprising because I actually haven't heard like many people talking about that one.
Yep. So The Umbrella Academy has topped the list of streaming TV shows with more than 3 billion minutes watched during the week, August 3rd to 9th.
3 billion minutes.
3 billion minutes. Isn't that crazy?
Do you think they just give that statistic in minutes so that they could say 3 billion? Like, they didn't bother with what's hours.
Like? No, what's know? That like with 3 billion minutes? I mean, what would 3 billion minutes be in hours?
It's divided by 60, so it's not math I'm prepared to do on camera. live on air.
Reviews for season 2 have been stellar with a 90% Rotten Tomatoes critics score. Compared to season 1, which was 75. I haven't started watching it yet, I'm looking for something new to watch, but I've been recommended Cobra Kai that I might start watching probably next week.
Start watching The Boys, Chris.
That's right. That's Amazon, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it is. Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. I still have my subscription.
Good.
It's a Prime. But yeah, have you got any more news?
Yeah, I got something kind of related to the Umbrella Academy, like TV show news. The Walking Dead is scheduled to end after its supersized 11th season. So, first of all, I'm shocked that there is now up to 11 seasons of the show, but I'm even more shocked that they're actually deciding to kill it off or to finally end it.
Mm-hmm.
The zombie apocalypse series based on Robert Kirkman's comics is coming to an end in 2022. So we still got nearly 2 years of it with an expanded 11th season. So they're kind of going with this final season, splitting it into like two parts, essentially. And then I guess 24 episodes long. So it's basically a supersized season to try and round everything out and close it all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not entirely close it up, because there will be, almost immediately after the conclusion of The Walking Dead, a spin-off series based on Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride's characters, Daryl and Carol.
So is that saying that, are those events, I take it, going to, that it has to be a prequel, surely, yeah?
They haven't announced, they've just said there's a spin-off show centered around those two.
Because surely that would just be like them saying, well, these two characters are just, you know, they're bulletproof now for the next season or two.
Yeah, pretty much, if that's not the case.
I recently finished season 9, so I'm caught up to that far, because I didn't want to pay to watch season 10 episode by episode on Prime. But I enjoy it, you know.
You'll watch through to season 11, Chris?
Yeah, I have to see it through at this point, D. I've committed a lot of time.
You put a lot of hours into that one.
Mm-hmm. Definitely gone downhill from like the earlier days, but yeah, still it holds my attention, you know, keeps me captivated for an hour or so at a time.
It's like Chris Callahan's review on The Walking Dead.
It does, you know, it'll do it a pinch.
Finally for me, Chris, a little bit of Nick Cage news for you again. Tangentially related to TV shows and that type of business, actually Amazon Prime. The Tiger King scripted series with Nicolas Cage is on.
So just say that again. I think you just broke up on me just a wee bit there towards the end. The Tiger King series, Nick Cage.
He's coming to Amazon.
Oh, perfect. That's fine.
So we're going to have Joe Exotic, as played by Nick Cage, in a scripted show.
That's right.
Yeah. On Amazon Prime. So
the man is not afraid of anything, is he?
He'll take it on, Chris. And I think I think he'll do good work on it. I haven't seen all of Tiger King, the documentary series on Netflix.
Neither have I.
I'll probably wind up watching the Amazon one with Nick Cage first.
Before
I go back. But
absolutely, yeah.
That's your weekly Nick Cage fix, as we always have to have on this podcast.
Thank you. Do you know what, Dee? I'm just thinking there. Nick Cage, we should get a pet for our studio. And what about a fish? And we can call him Nick Cage.
I can get on board with that, yeah.
Yeah,
just don't forget about the poor critter.
I how could I ever forget about him? His name's Nick Cage, Dee. You know. Speaking of pets, how are your two dogs and my best friends from Belfast doing?
They're doing really good, Chris. Obviously, miss you tremendously.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hours.
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of already knew that, as I am somewhat of a pet psychic myself. You know, I had the feeling that Oreo was missing me dearly.
Yes. Frequent listeners of the podcast will know about Chris's pet's psychosis.
tell him I'll visit soon, and we'll schedule in that tarot reading when I get there.
Chris, they already know, because he just communicated.
That's true. Because of the pet psychic that I am.
Exactly.
It's a real job. It's a real profession, dude. Don't shit on it, all right?
I'm not. I didn't say anything.
Don't shit on it. I'm a pet psychic. It's a professional job, all right? And that's all I have to say on that.
And that concludes the news.
Before we move on to our main topic, D, and what I should have said way at the start, there are timestamps below.
There are. Yeah.
And you could just skip so much and save yourself so much hassle by using those timestamps. Because I know people don't care about the news. They don't care about on this day. They do care about blah, blah, blah. They're there. Use them. That's what they're there for. You know? You know, just make sure you use them all so you listen to the whole podcast.
Exactly. You can just mix up the order you listen to it in. So you can go main topic, news, personal podcast, introduction. That's a good way to do it, actually. Yeah. That's called the inverted
machete method. Order.
That's the machete order.
Yes.
Slash inverted slice order. Inverted similar. Slice order. Yeah.
But similar, but not affiliated to the machete order Star Wars.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you want to try that out. Yeah, that's it for me, Chris, on the news.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Dee, and listeners or viewers, as you may have deciphered from the clever wording of the title of this podcast, I am going to bring Dee a story of a fantastic human feat this week. That is what our topic is about. The feat rests with a man named, I'm going to say Jan. I think it's Jan. It's J-A-N. I don't think it's Jan. I think it's Jan.
I think it's Ian.
Oh, maybe it is Ian.
No, it's not. It's Jan. No.
It's Jan Balthrud. Yeah, for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to call him Jan. Okay, I don't want to feel self-conscious about how I'm saying it. There it is. It's out there. I'm calling him Jan. That's it. Before we get into the story, did you look anything up about this?
Didn't even know his name until now. I'm sure you told me, but it did not register. So
yep, I did.
Going
I
in blind.
Sent you the text. It's a short story, D, because like I said, I looked up everything I could on this guy. There's very, very little. So I did what I could, and I'm going to try to bulk it out the best I can. But it's a short, sweet, fantastic human feat. Are you ready?
Oh, I love that little beat. It's a short, sweet, fantastic human feat.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I didn't even hear it. Let me just fix my webcam a little bit because I'm going to sit upwards. There we go. Okay, here we go. This is the World War II survival story of Jan Balthrud. Okay, so before I get into it, Jan Balthrud was a Norwegian soldier during World War II. Okay, and basically we know nothing of his life other than he was born in 1917 in Norway, and that's it. Right up until 19, we don't know anything more about him until the invasion of Norway by Germany in 1940, when Balthrud fought in Vestfold, where he later escaped to Sweden. I'm assuming at that point that the German forces won, and that's why he would have had to escape. I don't know too much about the German invasion of Scandinavia during the war. You might be able to fill me in on some of this, Dee, because you did history.
Pretty sure there was, like, Finland got badly invaded. I remember there was, like, there's, like, Finnish soldiers who are, like proficient in skiing.
Yes.
They, like, ski with guns.
Yes, like, you play as a Finnish soldier, or I think it's a Finnish soldier in Battlefield 5.
Ah, well, there you go.
Which is by far one of the best war missions in a game I've ever played. Getting off topic, going back to it. I'm assuming the German forces won because he escaped. But he was later convicted of espionage and expelled from Sweden. And in 1941, he then arrived in Britain after having traveled through the Soviet Union, Africa, and the US, where he joined the Norwegian company Ling. I'm going to call it Ling. It's L-I-N-G-E. I don't think it's Linge, so I'm going to call it Ling. All right. And this is where our story is going to start. Chapter one. okay, so the year is 1943. So this is 2 years before the World War II ends. And Norway is under German occupation. The Scandinavian country has been neutral during the entirety of the First World War and maintained this position as Hitler's grip began to tighten on continental Europe. Politicians believed a pacifistic stance would help Norway avoid most of the impact of this new war as it had during World War I. Unfortunately, however, Hitler had different plans. So World War I, they took a very pacifistic stand. I'm assuming they just didn't fight. Would that be right? In World War I?
We were neutral, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've actually wrote down in my notes, D might know more about this. So
cut to D. Unfortunately, my Norwegian history is a little patchy at the moment, but
a little dated. Norway offered a desirable naval stronghold in the North Atlantic, considerable natural resources, and of course, a symbolic contribution to the growing Nazi empire. So in April 1940, the Blitzkrieg came to Norway. Do you know who that is?
It's the German I was thinking of the Luftwaffe. That's like the Air Force. I think the Blitzkrieg is just like the stormtroopers kind of.
Okay, thing. like the infantrymen?
Yeah, but like the experienced like SAS type of dudes.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'll look it up.
Are these the SAS of Germany? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, no, this is 100% German. Yeah, this is Nazi guys.
Okay, yeah. This was in April 1940. The Blitzkrieg came to Norway. Yes, the whole country would remain under their control until 1945. So clearly some kind of German force.
Blitzkrieg, Chris, just to fill that in a little bit, it's a method of warfare where the attacker spearheaded using a forced concentration of armored and motorized / mechanical infantry. So tanks,
okay,
armored vehicles, etc., kind of like to pierce the line.
Okay, so just heavy forces.
Yeah, heavy artillery, yeah.
Okay. You may have probably heard about the Norwegian minority who welcomed the Nazi, called the Vidkun-Quislings. That be right? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But that name became a well-known synonym for traitor after his outspoken support for Hitler landed him in a position as head of state. Yeah. Okay. However, many Norwegians bravely fought back against the Germans as part of an underground resistance group. Norwegian Independent Company 1 was such unit, and better known is its Company Ling, after its leader, Captain Martin Ling. Ling and his men were supported by British Special Operations Executive, or SOE, and received training in Scotland before returning to their home country to conduct raids and sabotage missions against the Nazis. Okay. In March 1943, a detachment of 4 Company Ling commandos and 8 other Norwegians embarked on Operation Martin. The goal of this operation was
Martin.
Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Just Martin.
Just Martin. The goal of this operation was to use 8 tons of explosives to destroy critical assets at a German air base in the town of Bardufoss in northern Norway. During preparations for this dangerous mission, one of the commandos attempted to make contact with a local member of the resistance. But in a cruel twist of fate, he ended up speaking to a shopkeeper with the same name. Some reports indicated he may have been a German imposter, however. That man promptly reported the conversation to the Gestapo.
What I'm assuming chances, like
Gestapo is obviously German...
secret police.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Yeah, exactly. What are the chances? So he speaks to a local member of resistance who happens to be working on the other side, or an informant of the Germans. Mm-hmm. Upon learning that Operation Martin had failed, these 12 men quickly returned to the fishing boat that was packed with all their explosives and attempted to escape. However, that would tragically fail as a German frigate intercepted the boat in a fjord near the island of Rebenisoya. Okay. Pardon me if I'm butchering some of these names. But the members of Company Ling made the difficult decision to blow up their own boat rather than to hand it over. They lit a time delay fuse, piled into a dinghy or a raft, and attempted to yet again escape the Germans. But the Germans opened fire on the dinghy, which killed one of the men and sank the vessel. 10 of the remaining men were dragged from the icy water, turned over to the Gestapo, and executed. The final operative, Jan Balsrud, was able to evade capture.
My God.
Yeah,
that's a pretty harrowing experience right there. Your whole squad either killed or captured and then killed.
And then executed, yep, exactly. So at the time of capture, Balsrud was 25 years old, and he had been preparing to conduct an underwater demolition element of Operation Martin. So it would have been his job to swim silently under the water to a number of seaplanes at the Bardufoss Air Base and plant magnetic limpet mines to destroy them. So he was the guy that swam under the water, came up, planted all these mines on the seaplanes and the boats, the freighters or whatever, and blew them all to kingdom come. Obviously, though, he never had the chance. But what it's saying is at this point, it's possible that his preparation for this mission explains how he survived. So was he ready to dive, or he could have just been get in the water or getting ready to get into the water? Because as the Germans opened fire on the dinghy, Balstrode dove into the frigid Arctic water and swam to shore, soaked. Freezing and missing one of his boots, he staggered up the beach and hid in a ravine. The Germans spotted and pursued him, and as a soldier drew close to his position, Balstrode drew his snub-nosed Colt revolver and shot him dead.
Fuck.
After nightfall, Balstrode found two young girls that who had been alerted by the sound of the exploding fishing boat echoing through the fjord earlier that day. So I want to cut away to an interview that was done with one of these girls in 2016, who states that Balstrode was ice cold and his uniform was frozen solid. Despite this, she described his sensitivity, courtesy, and grateful attitude towards her family as they helped him. He didn't stay long, though. He knew he had to keep moving so he didn't endanger the innocent people who came to his aid, is what she said. So over the next 9 weeks, Balstrode was the subject of a nationwide manhunt by the Germans.
Jesus.
He proceeded through Norway as a fugitive, moving cautiously from village to village and asking for help from people who could have easily turned him in at the time. Remember, these people had no reason to hide a fugitive. You know what I mean? They could have easily just turned him over to the Germans, which would have meant death for Balstrode, but they didn't. He never settled in one place and compartmentalized these interactions by refusing to disclose who he had previously visited, mm-hmm. or where he was going to next. His ultimate goal was to cross the border into Sweden, where he would have had a better chance of escaping to an allied nation until the search was ultimately called off. Through the kindness of his fellow Norwegians, Balstrode received food, shelter, new boots, and bandages for his, at this time, badly frostbitten feet. Remember, he'd already lost a boot when he dove into the water.
Yeah.
And he was also given some skis. Now, I'm assuming that he would have been in a lot of pain in his feet at this point. These skis enabled him to move more quickly, but a sudden blizzard caused him to veer off course. Suffering badly from exposure and snow blindness, he wandered towards the foot of Mount Jagavar, a 3,000-foot peak. As if this wasn't enough, an avalanche threw him down the mountainside. leaving him concussed and partially buried in snow. His skis had been destroyed and he had been separated from his pack of supplies. So this guy is going through a hell of a time to get himself into Sweden.
This is crazy.
He is being pursued relentlessly by the Germans. Like a nationwide manhunt for this man is underway in Norway. And he is now badly frostbitten feet. He's just got skis. He's making his way to Sweden and he's thrown off course by a blizzard and then almost drowned in an avalanche. Yeah.
That is bizarre. And he loses his supplies then in that encounter. Yeah.
But mad, like one of these fantastic human feats, it can only get worse. All right.
Oh, dramatic pause.
Yeah, sorry, I need a little sip of water there. By this point, Balstrode was delirious and hallucinating, recounting that he heard the voices of his 11 comrades calling out to him. After 3 days of walking, he found the tiny village of Flatulent, which is just a great name for a village.
Side note. Excellent name. Flatulent.
And by a great stroke of luck, the home of a resistance member there. Village residents hid him in a barn in the hopes that he would recover, but the frostbite on his feet had progressed to the point that he could no longer walk. So they coordinated to transport him to another island, first on a concealed stretcher, then on an improvised sled, and finally in a rowboat across the fjord.
My God.
So these people were just willing to risk it all to save this one man.
This, he finally found like other resistance members these people. So finally a break of luck for the poor guy. Yeah.
I will also try to send you D because it's just interesting to see. I have a map of like the area of Norway he was in. and like the routes he took through all these different islands and peaks. If I can send that to you, that we can include this in the video version of the
video
of the
version. If you're listening to the audio, get over there so you can see it all visualized.
That'd be great. After this journey, the villagers left Balthred in a 6-foot by 9-foot shed with some supplies, intending to return in a few days. He jokingly dubbed this shed his Hotel Savoy after the world-renowned luxury hotel in London. Yet again, though, unpredictable weather arrived, delaying the return trip, and Balthred began to see the signs of gangrene in his frost-damaged feet. So, he sterilized his pocket knife in the flame of a lantern and did what he knew he had to do. He fully amputated one of his big toes and sliced dead flesh off the tips of several others.
My God.
Yep. This guy's having a rough time, D.
With his pocket knife, was it? Or yeah. his military knife?
Just with his pocket knife. But it's okay, because we're nearly there. 5 days later, when the storm abated, the villagers crossed the fjord again and carried Balthred further into the mountains. They eventually left him again in a rock crevice where he would remain for 9 more days.
Jesus
These
Christ.
Leapfrog journeys had to continue. He did 5 days in one location, then 17 in another. So basically, these guys are coming up, picking him up, moving him. Then they're disappearing because they got to go home and keep up the whole charade. And they're coming back for him, moving him a little bit further, coming back. But he has to stay there the entire time. So he's done 5 days. Now he's got to do another 17. And since the spread of gangrene was continuing, he amputated the rest of his toes and would later say he seriously contemplated suicide. Resistance members asked for help from the Sami native tribe members, who nowadays are just known as Laplanders, who used a sled and reindeer to stealthily cross through Finland and ultimately into Sweden, evading German units along the way.
My God. So he got help from these kind of like native peoples?
The indigenous peoples of the mountains, D.
Well, that's good. Those are the people you'd want to like evade capture.
Exactly. When he arrived in hospital in Sweden, Balthred weighed 80 pounds, which is not even 6 stone. He spent 7 months there, putting on weight, regaining his eyesight, and learning how to walk again on his disfigured feet. Less than a year after reaching Sweden, Balthred returned to Scotland, where he would train other Norwegian resistance members and allied forces alongside the British SOE. However, as was also true of other legendary wartime survivors, he was not content to live this sedentary life while his countrymen were still fighting. He soon traveled back to Norway to aid the resistance directly and witness the liberation of his country as the war ended. The British honored Balthred by appointing him a member of the Order of the British Empire, or OBE, and the Norwegian government awarded him with the St. Olav's Medal with Oak Branch. He married an American woman, started a family, and served as chairman of the Norwegian Disabled Veterans Unit. Jan Sigurd Balthred died in Oslo on December 30th, 1988, at 71 years old. According to his wishes, his ashes were buried with Alsak Foslov, one of the Norwegian resistance members who aided him on his journey to safety. And that is the story of Jan Balthred.
That's amazing.
It's a crazy TLD, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable. Ultimately, sorry, I meant to say he ultimately amputated 9 of his toes, 9 of his 10 toes.
Just to survive.
But doing that, basically, I read some of the, like the reports or whatever, and they said that by doing that, he saved his life. He stopped the gangrene from spreading. He didn't lose his feet, just his toes. And he was able to walk because of the steps that he took, which I can't even fathom cutting off bits of flesh and my toes and being pursued by German forces.
Having the willpower to do that, it's incredible. It's like for 147 hours, right?
127, yeah, exactly.
It's like that, but I mean, like, spread out over weeks and months.
Yeah, exactly. 9 weeks lying in a ditch he was at one point. Like, Jesus, like that's incredible. In Norway, which at March time, which I can only assume is like
just Baltic, freezing cold.
Baltically cold. I came across this story just by chance, and it's just one of the best wartime survival stories I think I've heard, just of his resilience to not give up, not give in to the suicidal tendencies that were calling him. He said he heard the voices of his 11 comrades in the boat. That led me to believe, because he was up in the mountains, maybe, remember we discussed this during the Dyatlov talk, that he was hearing, like voices carried in the wind and things like that there, that could have been driving him.
Yeah, true.
Just driving him mad, like the wind. So, Jesus, what that man... I'm surprised he never wrote a book, you know?
I mean, yeah, it seems like it's interesting, exactly, like what he did do after, you know, he spent 7 months recovering, and when he got out, he was straight back in training. Yeah. He was back into service. He went mm-hmm. home to try and continue the fight, essentially, like so. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, no one would have blamed the man after that yeah. experience from just like taking a back seat. But
yeah,
you know, it tells you a lot about his personality and the type of the driven person that he was.
It's definitely a story and a name that I won't forget when I think of World War II. Now, I mean, I never would have thought of Norway, Sweden, or Denmark. You know, when I think of World War II, these are the stories you don't hear about. You know, it's always the front line and the you know. The concentration camps and all those atrocities, but that's just an incredible story, and I'm glad I was able to bring it to you today. I know it's short, but there's so little on the man. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So I hope you and all the viewers now have a better understanding of Jan Balstrud and his story of safety.
Survival, right?
Survival. Yeah, jeez, that word is completely
safety.
This left me there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's incredible as well. Like that, like they had this, you know, undercover mission to, you know, destroy Nazi assets and then just, you know, blew up their own ship. Everyone who dived aboard, 11 people out of 12 captured, killed. Mm-hmm. He's the only one to survive for months and weeks in the worst of conditions with absolutely nothing going his way until like close to the end. Like that's,
yeah.
You know, how would you stay motivated? You know,
I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable, D. Unbelievable. Yep. So there you have it. That is the story of Jan Balstrud. Be sure to, if you want to do further reading on it, by all means, knock yourself out. Otherwise, I hope you enjoyed it. Another fantastic human feat for the records, D. All that's left to do on this podcast, I think, is finish up with our weeks.
If it's time to get personal with the podcast.
Diddling.
I like that. It was a little jingle for the segment.
Yeah.
I'm gonna clip that, and that is gonna be the new jingle.
It's time. Such a bad jingle. Like I could if you had prepared me, I could have done something a bit better.
No, because then it would have been forced, and this is natural, this is real. Okay.
Okay. This is real. Do that. Clip that.
Okay. That's an empty promise. That's why we're called the Empty Promise Podcast. I'm never going to do that. That's not going to happen. This is the show you've chosen to listen to.
I wonder if any of our listeners are audio gifted, D.
Gifted with audio.
Technically gifted. Yeah.
Tactically gifted.
Yeah, with audio.
I'm sure there is.
Or could they come up with a jingle for us?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Give us a jingle. Give us a jingle for free. And then we might put it in our podcast.
We don't have anything else, so we will put it in.
It's guaranteed. It's a dead thing.
Dead cert. Yep. Yep. 100%. Tell me about your week then, D, since we last conversed. I mean, we went and visited Frank after the last podcast.
Exactly. That was a big highlight of my week was catching up with Frank and yourself and just shooting the shit, talking the same old shit that we did, like what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? How long ago?
More. We left high school in 2012. Eight years ago.
Yeah. Eight, 9 years ago. Crazy how like that amount of time can pass, and in about 10 minutes, you're kind of back to the same old shit.
Yeah.
That was a good feeling.
Yeah, it was just like we hadn't even left. And you and I said in the car as we approached this house, I wonder, is this going to be awkward now? You know, Frank's got a kid; he's living with his girlfriend. They have a house together in Belfast. Things are different, and we were like, uh-oh, is this going to be kind of awkward? Is it going to be icy? As you said, within 10 minutes, we were just throwing out the one-liners and, and laughing and just the same old shit.
Same old shit. We should. Yeah. We'll definitely be getting Frank, if he's willing, onto a podcast, and we'll be meeting up again to do the same thing, to shoot shit and have some fun. So that was an awesome, awesome part of my week, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the following Monday off.
Oh, nice.
And I was determined to make some use out of it. So what I did is, is I dug up my garden. Just completely dug the whole thing up.
Really?
Yeah, and reseeded it, trying to regrow the grass because it had fallen into the state of bad, you know, disrepair. Not at my hand, because we've only been here for a couple of months. But I was like, I want a good garden in here for our little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to dig this fucker up. And apparently September's a good time to do it. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go go buy the stuff and do the thing. And I did. And it's not often I get that sense of accomplishment. You know, you actually go out and do like a physical manual thing, like a task that you've been meaning to do for a while.
Yep.
And you do it. There's a great sense of satisfaction when you ever finish one of those. So that felt great.
I'd say so. And it's quite a hefty challenge as well, D. Like that's backbreaking labor, that digging up a garden.
That's it. You feel tired after, but you feel like good tired, like kind of like, ah yeah, I worked hard today.
Did that take up your whole day?
I earned a treat, and then you have a wee treat. Yeah.
Took up your whole day? Is that what your whole day was spent
doing?
It
took up only a few hours, to be honest. But like, you know, you had to go up in the morning and get the stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
No, I was just saying it. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's it. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
Apart from that, Chris, what else? Oh, yeah, started watching The Boys.
Yes.
Season two.
Yes.
Terrific. Really good.
Everyone good. Should watch it. I'm glad. Okay. Is this your recommendation, The Boys?
Yeah, man, I've been recommending it for a while, so get on that shit. I know you've recommended a few things to me that I haven't followed up, so, you know, it's a, you know, we're not going to fall out over it, okay?
Yeah.
Now, aside from that, not a whole pile, man. It's been week in, week out. You're just doing the same old shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not up to much. It's been good. Good to catch up with Frank. Good to get a little bit of accomplishment done in my life. Something, you know, something achieved.
Yep.
And some good shows and good food to sit back and relax. So
good. I'm glad.
What about you, man?
Well, just before I get into it, I just had a little message pop up saying my connection is unstable at the minute. So if I disappear, it should be fine. But if I disappear, just know I'm in the sticks. I'm safe. I'm surrounded by family. I'm not being pursued by Nazis, you know.
I don't know, man. You're locked up in that studio.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm in the studio tonight. Is right. Yeah, I'm not in my room no more.
You could be up there for 7 weeks. If it's anything like Our Boy Jan, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Our Boy Jan. I've had it felt like a busy week, but it just wasn't. I was busy doing nothing really.
Mm.
Because this tomorrow actually is my little sister's Holy Communion.
Congrats.
Which is like a big Catholic celebration, in case you're unfamiliar with the Holy Communion system.
What is it? It's a
the celebration, I guess. Yeah, the celebration of Holy Communion. But yeah, it's time for her class to make it. It would have been a good while ago, but COVID happened, and you know, now they're getting around to it. So all week we were kind of all over the place and trying to get outfits sorted and alterations to different kind of outfits and things like that. I was up in Belfast twice this week, doing that.
And you didn't call in?
See, I didn't know you were off. Did I go up Monday? I think it was actually Tuesday. It was Tuesday. Tuesday and Thursday, I was in Belfast.
You can always call in, Chris. No matter if I'm working, call in.
Okay, I'll know that.
But dogs, man. The dogs would have loved him, man.
I sent them a telepathic, you know, I'm here, yeah. It's because I'm a pet psychic, in case you didn't know. But I got to find a way of making that sound kind of less... a bit more nonchalant about the whole thing, you know, a bit more less showman, like, you know, like I'm a pet psychic, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I was in Belfast. I got a boujum on one of the days I was up, nice. Which was just thoroughly enjoyable. The other day I went to Bootleggers for lunch. You ever been to Bootleggers?
Yeah.
Delicious burgers.
Burgers? Delicious.
Yeah, well, I had a vegan burger, obviously.
I was about to say, yeah.
They cater for us vegans.
If you recall, Chris, I recommended a Bootleggers burger many, many, many podcasts ago.
I thought you did, D, but I couldn't find the podcast.
No, yeah. You should have listened before you went in.
Yeah, I know. That would have made it just even sweeter.
you're right. They're good burgers.
I had a Bootleggers. I had a boujum. I also had a Bubba Drew's twice this week. I've just been a fucking pig this week, D.
What's Bubba Drew's barbecue?
Bubba Drew's, it's a it's just a diner. It's part of a chain called Dino Diners. So it's like dinosaur themed diners. It's in the Omni Park in Craigavon beside the cinema. It opened up when it opened. It's okay. I had one of those on Monday, and then obviously I went to Bootleggers on Tuesday, and I was like, well, that just knocked Bubba Drew's like to shit. But no, I had one today actually. I was visiting a friend who's leaving for Liverpool after this weekend, so I was saying goodbye to them today. So we went for lunch. I think that's all the food I had this week, actually.
You've been out a lot for food, Chris.
I was just there and I was like, I'm hungry, so I ate. I finished The Fall this week. Remember the TV series I was telling you about, The Fall? I finished it actually the next day, Sunday, I finished it when I came back from Belfast with you. It was what I expected. It was good. The ending was good. It was kind of predictable.
Okay.
But it's 100% worth the watch, definitely for the first two seasons, Dee. And then I couldn't find anything to watch that was kind of lighthearted, so I started watching Disenchantment, you know, the Matt Groening fantasy cartoon. It's good. I'm enjoying it at the minute, actually. It's only two seasons of it, so I'm just going to give it a go.
I got maybe six episodes in.
Yeah. You've watched it, yeah.
Yeah, but then we gave up and we never finished that season. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really think it was because it was bad. It's just because we just stopped watching it, you know,
I'll give it that. It's not that it's bad, it's just forgettable.
Yeah, that's probably it, you know.
You know, yeah. It doesn't have like any real standout moments for me just yet, but you know, I'll finish this off. I'm just looking for something to tie me until Bly Manor next month. The Haunting of Bly Manor. Yeah. And then I'm good. I also finished David Goggins' audiobook, Can't Hurt Me. I've read the physical book itself. I've talked to you about it, but I wanted to listen to the audiobook because it's so much better.
Does he narrate it? Is it him?
No, he doesn't narrate it, but the guy that narrates it does a great job, and Goggins is there after every chapter where they break down the whole format of audiobooks, and they basically do a podcast, like a mini podcast between every chapter where he's discussing the chapter himself and he reveals more about it, which is just a really, really cool addition to the audiobook version.
I have a confession to make about Walter. It wasn't Walter Goggins, right?
David Goggins.
David Goggins. I don't like him, man.
What? I think you don't like Goggins, man.
Because he just talks and talks, man. And he's like, you've got the power to do this. And the only reason you'll do this is because you don't want to, because you don't believe it. And I'm like, all right, shut up for a second, will you?
Yeah, but what he's saying is true, though. Like, you do.
I'm sure it is true, but like, yeah. I just hate the way he says everything as if we don't know that it's true. It's like, how did you not see this your entire life? And it's like, well, everybody knows it's just hard, so we don't do it, all right? We know this. We're ashamed of the fact that we don't do anything because it's hard. You telling me that it's hard is not going to change the fact that it's hard? Just shut up for a second. Crying out loud. I don't know what it is, man.
I'm going to clip that clip of you saying, just shut up for a second, will you? And I'm going to use that. No, I get it.
If Arnold Schwarzenegger said the same thing, I would listen. I like him. Because he seems like a real person. He doesn't seem like he's telling me things. He's talking at me. It feels like he's just like sharing my experience like that.
The thing about Goggins is he's got this reputation for doing things that make him uncomfortable. That's what his whole premise is. And I get that he's a bit like, well, he's eccentric. I'll give him that. He's definitely eccentric. But I like him, man. I think he's motivational.
Yeah, I used to like him because I watched a few clips of him. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is good stuff. And then the more I've seen of him is like kind of like, I actually don't think I like the spiel that much. And then
I like
I see his little clips and they're always like, not clickbaity, but they're kind of clickbaity titles where they're like, kind of like, the reason you don't do this is because you don't want to. And you're like, oh, that's probably true, but I don't need you to go tell me.
I don't need you telling me. His book is excellent. His book is definitely good because at least if you're reading it, you don't really
have to listen to it.
Exactly. You don't pick up on that kind of personality, but his book is excellent. Last thing this week, Dee, I have been getting... Oh, well, I'm back playing... I guess I'm back playing the Switch. I'm back playing Breath of the Wild.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good.
Put a good few hours back into it. Just every now and again when I'm sitting downstairs, like with the family or something, I'm like...
I'm not tuned in right now, guys.
Exactly, yeah. No, I'm playing it, but Warzone this week has been particularly stressful for both myself and my brother. We have got a number, actually quite a high number, of second place finishes in solos. Ooh. And just agonizingly close to that, to that top spot again, and just can't get it. They just keep fucking up in the final circle, you know? I don't have the stones to take me all the way. I just can't do it.
You just got to get the few bad runs out, Chris, and then
I don't know. We've had quite a few
win.
We've had quite a few bad runs. We've had quite a lot of top 10 finishes and quite a few second place finishes. But no one remembers the second place guy.
You see, your second place finishes are what do you call that? It's your your bogey or something like that.
Your purgatory.
Yeah, so it's like that thing. It's like that thing that you can't beat. But once you do beat it, then it's not a big deal anymore. It's like, yeah, I'm over.
I don't know. I think it could be another week before I get
myself. It's your rut. That's what it is. Because when I played Apex, we had that. It was like always second or third. And it was like, had we done something slightly different, we probably should have won that. And it was like, okay. And then we won one. And was like, oh, yeah, fuck the seconds and the thirds we were doing then.
Yeah, I get you. I'm hoping for a win in the next couple of days, because otherwise I'm going to be... I might just delete Warzone again.
Save yourself fucking 400 gigabytes of storage as well.
Exactly, yeah. But that's it. That's all I've got up to this week. It's been productive without actually being productive, I think.
Yeah, you've kept yourself busy, which is good.
Exactly, yeah. I'm looking forward to the Holy Communion tomorrow. See my sister do that. And then in hopefully like a week or two's time, I'll meet up with you and Frank again, and we will shoot the shit. Hopefully you'll get back down for the podcast here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the plan.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You got a lot of fun stuff planned, I guess.
A lot of big stuff coming up on the horizon.
Big stuff. Yeah, I've got nothing else to really offer in my week. I know there was something, but I'm getting better at writing down stuff. So
there's always something else that you remember right after you hit stop on the recording.
As soon as we stop, yeah, I know. No, that's it. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got.
That's all she wrote.
Yep, that is it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened this far. Perhaps you're willing to go a little further. It would mean the absolute world to us if you listen on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a rating there. It takes like 2 seconds. All you got to do is click those big stars, I think it is, on Apple Podcasts. If you could give us a solid 3, at least.
Yeah.
That would be terrific. If you think we're worth more, of course, you could give us a bit more. If you're listening or if you're watching the video version, if you could hit that big thumbs up button, again, it would mean the absolute world to us. All of your interactions with us through messages and comments, queries, the whole lot, everything that we get every week is just so, it makes this so much more fulfilling. Not that we don't enjoy it, but just hearing responses from you guys definitely makes it even more worth it. So please keep up that. You can reach us with comments, questions, or queries through any of our social media. Search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast or our email D, which is
emptypromisepodcast@gmail.com.
Or comment on any of our videos, or just get in contact with me and D directly. That's the other way you can do it.
In person, spot us on the street, stop us. Actually, that doesn't happen anymore. You don't spot people on the street because we're all wearing masks.
That's right. That's right.
Just yell.
We could get masks made with our logo on the side.
We should actually.
Yeah.
Or just with our mouths printed on them, so we're easily recognizable. If you have a pet out there, feel free to tell them to get in contact with Chris. That's probably the most direct way that we have currently.
Yeah,
I don't know, Chris. Actually, is it a distance thing, or you know, Americans? If you do have pets, will that work? Or
no, the time zones kind of throws me off a little bit. I gotta be in my US time or AUS time, you know, to be getting on those pets. But anything here in UK or Europe, I can work. I just gotta be given like a couple hours notice. I'll tap in to that world. Let me get my candle set up. Let me get the studio set up. I'm about to tell you, out there it's no longer a green room. That is my office, if you like.
Seance room. Whatever it is.
I got some incense burning. I got some tarot cards on the table. I'm really
Pentagram on the wall.
That's it. Yeah.
Worship.
That's exactly what's going on. But yeah, get your pets to get in contact with me, and I hope to pass on this ability to D the next time that we speak. So then we, you know, we can be contacted anytime, day or night, anywhere on the globe, in the globe, around the globe. So there you go. We're making this as easy as fucking possible for you guys right now. You know? So don't say we're not good to you. That's all I have to offer this week, D. We hope to see you all next week, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But for now, stay safe. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye-bye.